1-1 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Way up there. Way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Strikeout for the King tonight, and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill back with you. Glad to be here. Exciting times on the way. Off day last night, but back to baseball again today as the homestand continues. Hope to see you out at Safeco Field tonight as the M's take on the San Diego Padres, coming off of the clean sweep against the Oakland A's over the weekend. Of course, Felix on Sunday, sensational. The walk-off on Friday against the A's, just a great three-game series. The Mariners sweep the A's, now try and take that momentum into the two-game series against the San Diego Padres. So we'll talk about what's coming up for the rest of the homestand in a moment. Some good stuff on the way. Josh Kearns is going to be back. His series continues, and it's been tremendous so far. Going in-depth with some of the things that happened outside the lines, and this time it's about Mariners vision, and it's excellent. Gives you a really good look at what happens behind the scenes that makes everything go with Mariners vision. Boy, that thing, it's mission control. It looks like they could send someone to the moon from there. That's what it looks like. So Josh Kearns will have that. Shannon Dreher with an excellent conversation with Taijuan Walker, talking about his mother and how special Sunday, Mother's Day, was to Taijuan Walker. That comes up. That's outstanding. I had a chance to talk to Mark Lowe as well, his return to the Mariners. And he has some tremendous things to say about being back with the Mariners and what it means to him. Of course, he came up nearly a decade ago now with the M's. And now after several organizations, major league, minor league, some injuries along the way. And he's going to talk about just how special it is to be back. And also, I give some insight on something pretty remarkable. And I won't give it all away, but I just want to put some of it in context. He was on the mound when Texas went to the World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals, and he gave up a home run in Game 6 to Freeze that was the game winner. Cardinals went on to win the World Series in Game 7. But it's remarkable to hear him talk about that moment and what it means to him now in terms of just every time he's on the mound in certain situations, in pressure situations. It's really fascinating. The insight is spectacular, and to hear him talk about it, that comes up. I think you'll enjoy that. And I'm going to end with something I don't think I've played on the podcast. If I have, I guess you're going to hear it again, but I don't think I have. It was my little tribute to Nelson Cruz and his first month and change of the season and how it looked very familiar to Mariners fans. M's fans have seen this kind of month before out of the chute. And it's pretty rare company what Nelson Cruz and, well, I won't spoil it too much if I say Ken Griffey Jr.'s name, what those two guys did in Mariners uniforms to start their season. So that's going to come up at the end of the podcast. But first thing, let's get you ready for the games coming up. Mariners taking on the San Diego Padres for two games, both 7-10 starts Tuesday and Wednesday. Pitching situations are going to be pretty interesting. James Paxton scheduled to go in Game 1, 0-2, a 5.08 ERA, but he's pitched really well the last couple of starts, which is very encouraging for the Mariners' rotation. He's going to go against Ian Kennedy, 2-1 with a 5.03 ERA so far on the season. A high ERA, but don't let it fool you. Talented pitcher, and you know, most of that ERA came in one start against the Dodgers in late April. He gave up 8 earned and 4 1/3 innings. But those last two turns, he's been pretty good. May 1st against the Rockies, gave up 2 earned in 6 innings, 2 solo home runs. And then his last time out against the Giants on the 6th, he went 7 strong and just gave up 1 earned run, didn't walk anyone, and fanned 5. So the ERA a little deceiving, as it can be this time of year. He's only started 4 games coming into this one. So keep that in mind when you look at his numbers, Ian Kennedy's had some really nice seasons for San Diego. Last year, over 200 innings of work for the Padres, ended with a 3.63 ERA, 207 strikeouts along the way as well. So a nice year last year in a Padres uniform. Meanwhile, James Paxton, last time out against the Angels, 7 innings, 2 earned. Time before that in Houston, 7 innings, 2 earned. Time before that in Minnesota, 4 2/3, 1 earned. So especially his last two starts, he's had good life, he's had good stuff, he's looked really strong, and I'm anxious to see him against the Padres tonight. Now, the trick for Paxton is a lot of the thunder for the Padres comes from the right side, whether you're talking about Justin Upton, who's having a nice season. He's popped 8 home runs already. He's running as well with 7 swipes, his batting average at .293 so far this season. Will Myers having a nice season from the right side as well. Also Matt Kemp, of course, who, you know, only 1 home run so far, but dangerous from the right side. Derek Norris, of course, you remember from the Oakland A's, the all-star catcher. He's from the right side. They won't have to worry about Alonso at first base, who was off to a nice start so far this year. He went to the DL, but he's one of the few that bats from the left side. So Paxton will have to work around a right-handed heavy hitting lineup. So that's going to be the tall task for James Paxton in the game tonight. Padres were off last night, and you know, it's a team with heavy expectations after all the changes. They look completely different than they did last year. And right now, they're a game above 500, 17-16 in second place in the division, but 5 games back of the Dodgers, who are 21-10 to start the year, perched at the top in the NL West. Now, in terms of the AL West, here's how it looks as the Mariners head into the rest of the homestand. You have the Astros on top at 20-12. They're 5-5 in their last 10. You have the Angels at 15-17 in second place. The Mariners a half game behind the Angels at 14-17. The Rangers a half game behind the Mariners at 14-18. And then the A's 9 games back of the leaders at 12-22 now after being swept by the M's. They've lost 6 games in a row now as they fell to the Boston Red Sox last night. The Boston Red Sox will be in after 2 against the Padres. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Padres. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Boston Red Sox. Thursday, 7:10. Friday, 7:10. And by the way, that's Mariners Fedora Hat Night to the first 20,000. That's not bad. Saturday is going to be fantastic. Turn back the clock, celebrating the Seattle Steelheads and Negro Leagues Night. And that's going to be fun. If you haven't seen the uniforms, they look sensational. That's going to be a fun night. And celebrating a team that I don't think many baseball fans around here know about. And we're going to talk more about them, I think, on the podcast tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it's going to be the next day. So we'll talk a lot about the Seattle Steelheads. Pretty cool. Pretty good stuff. So that comes up 6:10 on Saturday, first pitch. And then on Sunday, Little League Day, Nelson Cruz Poster Day. That's 1:10 first pitch against the Boston Red Sox. And then it's a day off on Monday, and then on the road to the East Coast, Baltimore, Toronto, and Tampa Bay. So there it is, a real opportunity here after sweeping aside the A's to have a great homestand with San Diego 2, Boston 4. So we'll see you at the ballpark tonight, but right now let's hand things over to Josh Kearns. Another great feature, this one, on Mariners Vision.
First one of that is N1. We'll do a thank you graphic. We'll do a 30-second 7:10.
Let's do this, Safeco Field!
It's showtime here in Master Control, but we're not in a TV station. It's the Nerve Center for Mariner Vision, the massive video display towering over Safeco Field.
You know, we have at least about 15 to 16 bodies in the room and about another 4 individuals out in the ballpark running cameras and that type of stuff who are executing our show, you know, hitting the right button, shooting the shots of the fans, and rolling a feature such as the Hydros.
Meet Ben Mertens, the director of Mariners Productions. He oversees everything you see on the massive HD LED screen, the biggest in baseball and one of the largest in all of pro sports. Talk about a kid in a candy shop.
It is so large, and it's basically if you had 2 TVs at home, it's as if they're right next to each other. And instead of a 16x9, we got a 32x9 canvas to play with. We can split it up. We can put picture and picture upon picture onto the screen. We can composite graphics. It allows us to do some really fun stuff that hopefully has an impact on the game.
We'll come out to a live shot after hat-trick of the Navs in the bear hat.
And just like on the field, the crew does all it can to make sure no two games are alike.
We try to make each game feel a little bit different, obviously specialized for that evening. So there are things that are obviously pre-produced, the hydros and the hat-trick. But, you know, after a Mariners win the night before, we're going to create a video for the next game the next day highlighting what occurred. You know, we have a couple features in-game that are going to recap what happens.
Hit well! Deep! Gone! Boomstick, baby!
Ben and his team have won a number of awards for their innovative productions, including their team open with Macklemore.
Mariners, baby! Raise those hands, this is our party!
Yeah, there really are awards for event presentations. But he says the most satisfying thing is getting the instant reaction from the fans just outside their window above home plate.
And yeah, we're like a TV broadcast studio, but the difference is, so when we do something well or something or produce something that's funny or is engaging, we hear that reaction immediately.
Without a doubt, the biggest is the reaction to the venerable hydro races, an institution since the Kingdome days. Now, Ben wouldn't divulge how they actually pick the winner of each race, but they try and randomize the results as much as possible throughout the season. However, an inside source tells me don't expect the Red Boat to win when the Angels are in town, for example, if you know what I mean. And as for the players themselves, Ben says they most certainly have a say in the features that go on the big screen.
And they give us some input sometimes on what they think can work from music to ideas, and we embrace that input and hopefully can incorporate it into the show.
Please don't do that.
And at the end of the day, a show is exactly what they hope to pull off, regardless of what's going on between the lines.
We have a fun job. It's a fun job to create an experience, to entertain the fans. So that can be a challenge for us, but it's a challenge we look forward to having.
It's a challenge they manage to pull off at least 81 games a year.
My city, my Mariners.
I'm Josh Kearns.
Another great feature from Josh Kearns. Love him every single week. And now Shannon Dreher comes by, and she has a great conversation with Taiwan Walker. Mother's Day, of course, on Sunday, and you hear how meaningful that day is to the Mariners starter.
Today on Mother's Day, the Mariners have all made their phone calls and sent their gifts to their moms. Moms play a big role in getting their kids to the big leagues, and Taiwan Walker in particular has a special appreciation for the role his mom has played in his life and the sacrifices she has made.
My mom is my best friend. You know, growing up, she was always there supporting me no matter what I did, no matter what sport it was. You know, and single mom raising four kids, you know, three boys and a girl, so... You know, three boys alone is tough. So, yeah, she was there. She's always there. You know, she would be at my games, be at my older brother's games, my sister's games. You know, it was just amazing to watch how she managed all this. And, you know, so, you know, working all the time and just found the time to, you know, come support us. And so, you know, just, you know, I don't know another stronger woman. You know, she battled breast cancer and beat it. So she's kind of the hugest inspiration to me. You know, she's definitely my hero, definitely someone I can look up to, and, you know, definitely a person I want, you know, want to be, you know, when I have kids and stuff, you know, I kind of want to just model my parenting after my mom, because I thought she did such a good job with all her kids.
When you found out about her cancer diagnosis, what got you through that?
It was tough. It was definitely tough. But I know the biggest thing she told me, she was like, just go out there and keep pitching, you know, and keep doing what you love, because that's what's going to get me through it. You know, just seeing you happy, seeing you out there grinding and working hard and doing everything that you love to do in the baseball field. It's going to get me through this, and it's going to help me beat breast cancer. You know, she said, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I'll do this. So, you know, she was just positive the whole way through. You know, there's not one time where she wanted to give up. She talked about giving up. You know, me and my brothers and my sister, we were just like, you know, we're behind you. We got this, you know. You're going to beat this.
And that tells you just how important a family is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, family is number one. They're always going to be there no matter what. You know, you can have a bad relationship with your family, but no matter what, at the end of the day, they'll always be there for you.
Have you guys always been this close?
I mean, always, yeah. Yeah, it's always, because it's always just been us five, you know. And, you know, growing up, you know, we went through some tough times, some really tough times, and it's just always been us, just a family together. So, you know, that's why we've been so close, because, you know, we've always had to stick together.
How'd she do it? How'd she keep it all together?
I don't know. That's one thing I would like to know. You know, she always stayed positive. You know, she was never down. No matter, you know, we were in the toughest situations, there was not one time where I saw her down. She was always staying positive and always kept her head up. And she did that to make sure that, you know, we always kept our head up. We never looked down. So that's one of the main reasons why I'm here, you know, because I wanted to help her out, because she helped me out so much. And I just want to give so much back to her. But I know there's nothing I can really give back to her for everything she's done.
Taiwan's mom makes it to several games a year. You may have seen her, or more likely heard her. Taiwan says he can hear his mom yelling encouragement for TT, as she calls him, in any crowd, and he is absolutely okay with that.
And for the Mariners bullpen, it's been a case of new faces, old faces, with Joe Bimel, of course, coming up from Tacoma, pitching last year in a Mariners uniform. He's made an impact early on in his return. And, of course, Mark Lowe, who pitched for the Mariners nearly a decade ago before being traded away to the Rangers, then making his rounds to several different organizations. Now back with the M's. He's already pitched in some high-leverage situations as well, popping 97 on the gun, too, which was pretty impressive. But he has some really interesting things to say about tight situations, but also his feelings being back in Seattle.
We get to visit with Mark Lowe, a man we used to visit with here on these pregame shows a few years ago. First of all, welcome back to Seattle. How does it feel to be back in a Mariners uniform?
You know, it's kind of a dream come true. I think first, obviously, was to play in the big leagues, and had a lot of good memories from here. Got traded away and told my wife ever since I got traded, you know, we need to try to come back to Seattle. So it feels like home every time I come here.
What are your memories from when you first came up with the Mariners?
Just a young team, playing with Griffey. Just a lot of guys who were just learning how to compete at this level, going through the ups and downs of a full season, and just trying to get this organization going in the right way.
I remember you bursting onto the scene, the scoreless streak to start your run here, that ridiculous fastball. What are your memories about your performance on the mound from that time?
Yeah, I felt my first year I couldn't do anything wrong. I mean, if I needed a double play, I got one. If I needed an infield pop-up, I got one. And just somehow found a way to keep guys from scoring. That was pretty much the whole season until I got hurt. And then it was a totally different journey after that. Just battling injuries and trying to find a way to stay on the field every day.
And what has it been like now? Obviously, you've battled injuries. You've been in the minors for a while. You've battled to get back here. What was it like to get that call to come back to the big leagues again?
Surreal. I mean, I've had at least a single day in every season since 2006 on some team, so in the big leagues. But to come back here and to be at a place that feels like home, there's no really feeling, you know, I can describe in words. It's just dream come true. I feel really blessed and fortunate to be here.
When you describe yourself as a pitcher, have you changed since you first came to the big leagues to now?
I think I focus a lot more on location of my fastball and my slider. I've found a lot of different sequences that work for me against righties and lefties, and just using fastball, slider, and throwing a lot more two-seamers now, mostly two-seam, which I never really used to do. So I'm able to locate my two-seam better than I have my four-seam my whole life. So now I've got movement on every fastball I throw, and even when I miss, I've got movement across the zone with it. Getting a lot of ground balls and just picking different parts of the strike zone to pitch in.
How much does your experience help you in a situation like last night? You come in a tight ball game, obviously, needing to get a big out, and you got it.
Yeah, I joke all the time. I mean, I've given up probably the biggest hit I'll ever give up, you know, already. When I gave up the home run to Freeze in the World Series. And at that moment, it seemed like it was such a big deal, and it was. But moving forward, I mean, every situation I'm in now feels, you know, I feel very confident and calm and collected, and I've been there before. So there's really no situation where I'm overwhelmed or feel like I can't do it. You know, I've been on the biggest stage and made the biggest pitch I probably ever make. Hopefully I make a bigger one in my career, but to this point, you know, that was the biggest stage I've ever been on. So a situation like last night, I expect myself to do what I did and get out of it and at least give myself a good chance to get out of it by making quality pitches.
You were there a couple times with the Rangers. What was it like pitching in the World Series?
Amazing. You watch it, your whole childhood, watch it and put yourself in that situation. And obviously you always visualize yourself coming out on top. Unfortunately, you know, I've lost twice, but I think that gives you the hunger to get back there, and there wouldn't be a better spot to get back there than with this organization where it all started for me. And just to see the fans kind of come on board with us just the way they do with the Seahawks, it'd be a pretty awesome experience.
What do you think you bring most to this club right now?
Aggression. That's my whole game plan, is to be aggressive, pound the zone, and let my guys work behind me. I have a lot of feelings for this organization. I'm not only just playing for myself, but I'm playing for this team, and I think that goes a long way in this game, especially when I've been on 7 different teams. You know, this one holds a special place in my heart, and I do everything I can to be out there every day and do the best I can and hopefully come out with great performances.
Well, congratulations again. It's great to see you again, and good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And finally, what a big first month it was for Nelson Cruz, and it nearly matched one of the biggest months not only in Mariners history but baseball history. Ken Griffey Jr. from 1997. Here's a little celebration of Cruz and Ken Griffey Jr. Today we examine the historical home run start by Nelson Cruz.
Swing and a well-hit ball deep to left field. Going, goodbye baseball, way out of here. Nelson Cruz with his first home run in the Mariner uniform.
Nelson Cruz with 14 home runs already this season. The next closest in baseball has 10.
The pitch swing, and this is muscle deep left field. Zobra's back. He is at the wall. He leaps, and he cannot make the catch because that is over the fence for a home run. Nelson Cruz home runs back-to-back days, and that's an awfully big one for Nelly Cruz.
He walloped 10 homers in the month of April, batted .322. And took home Player of the Month honors in the American League. Only one other Mariner in history has won that award in the first month of the season.
Good pitch. And belted. Deep to right center field. And we are tied at 5-1. Fly away. Ken Griffey Jr. in his first at-bat in the 1997 season.
Ken Griffey Jr. won April Player of the Month in 1990, but also 1997. 13 home runs, 30 RBIs, batted .340 for the month.
And the 2-1 pitch to Jr. Swung on and belted, and Jr. has just tied the all-time April record with an upper deck home run. My!
You know, I think back to that year. I remember there was a game in Toronto where he hit 2 home runs, and it was in April, and I just remember just thinking, is it really that easy? He never disappointed. But he was a lot of fun to watch. It was a different time, a different ballpark, obviously, but he's still the greatest player I've ever seen. And that was the most awesome month I think I've ever seen.
Both Cruz and Griffey made history, 13 home runs in a team's first 24 games, both tied for the second most in baseball history. And in the case of Griffey, he kept on launching him. 11 home runs in the month of May, and then ended the season with a big bang. 12 in August, and 12 more in September and October.
Here's the pitch, swinging a drive deep to right center field. There it goes, number 50, Ken Griffey Jr.
And for Ken Griffey Jr., he ended the season with 56 home runs, 147 RBIs, and he batted .304 and took home American League MVP.
Here comes the 3-0 pitch to Junior. He swings and a high fly ball belted green to the track, the wall. Number 56, fly away. 3-0 Junior just through sheer brute force drove one over the National League side of the scoreboard.
And Ken Griffey Jr. has his 56.
Nelson Cruz has already hit a mile's worth of home runs this year.
Pitch by Gregerson, swing and a high drive, deep to left field. This one's going to the locomotive, and it hits the train. Onto the track, it hit the train out in left center field.
Boom, 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 boom.
Did you see the ball that Nelly hit? Did you see how far? Did you see how far that thing went?
I think that ball is still traveling, and it is crazy how far it went. I mean, it was hit wicked hard, and it went wicked far.
That was the most wicked hard and wicked far ball I've seen in a long time. This is my thing. I was concerned for the people out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Getting in that car, fumbling with the keys, and all of a sudden the ball came out of the park and hits that car. Great day for Nelly. Cruise control, no cruise control, 100 miles per hour, bomb.
Boomstick. Boomstick is right. Homa on Homa on top of Homa.
So how many will Nelson Cruz end up with?
The pitch on the way. Swing and a drive deep to left field. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Into the second level.
It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. I think the home run he hit in Seattle against Texas was pretty amazing to me. I'll remember that one. And the one he hit in Texas the other night on the road, didn't get much talk, but that ball has hit a long way.
Swing and a drive deep into right center field. Peterson going back to the track, leaps up, goodbye baseball, and has now homered in five consecutive games.
See you later!